apologies and three consideration and adoption of outstanding minutes and reports. I propose that we defer the report, the annual report, and that it gives us with the 5 cents of minutes for today. I'll check if I do get your concurrence on that request. And then for briefing by the defense, by the Department on Defense, on the second and third quarterly report. 5, update by DOD on irregular expenditure, its regularization, and the consequence management. And 6, briefing by AMSCO on progress regarding the re-establishment of maintenance capability at the AMSCO dockyard, and then 7, closure. Colleagues, I propose this agenda minus the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans Annual Report for 2020. Do I get your concurrence? Thank you. So the report, the agenda is adopted. Colleagues, you are all welcome and to this committee. Without much ado, let me acknowledge apologies, Brian.
Okay.
We've got two apologies. The first apology being from the minister. She is unavailable due to preparations for the questions session today. We also have an apology from the deputy minister, who is also unavailable due to a medical appointment that he has at the same time.
Okay,
that is all, sir. Thank you.
Good. Right. No, thank you very much.
Chair, I've checked with the whip. He says he's struggling with network, but he's trying to log in. So he says he's moving around to get a better connection.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Comrade Mudita. Chair, I'm in a meeting.
Okay. Am I audible? Yes, you are audible. Thank you very much and welcome, Mr. Mutle. So we have two apologies. It's the minister and the deputy minister. Are there any other apologies, colleagues? None. Can we then move off to the next item? Can you flag the first set of minutes? These are the minutes of the 24th. Of February 2021, under consideration, where 1, responses by the AG of South Africa on the issues emanating from the engagement on DOD procurement of the herbal drug, 2, responses by the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority on the issues emanating from the engagement on the same issue. And then thirdly, it's a response by the DOD Surgeon General on the issues emanating from the same issue. And fourthly, the responses by DOD Chief, CFO and Chief Logistics on the issues emanating from the same issue. Concluding remarks and the consideration of the minutes. Thank you so much. All right. So this was the attendance record. Thank you. I hope is there any correction on this page? Any correction on this page? All right, doesn't look like this. And let's go to page 2, the second page. All right. So, any correction on the second page? Go right up to the end of the page. Yes. Thank you. Let's go to the third page. Right up to the end of the third page. Any correction on this page?
Yes, just from my side, I recall, and I'm not quite sure where that must fit in, because it's with regards to SAPRA, and this is a point 5 is about SAPRA, where the chairperson of the board, Professor Rees, introduced another professor to give comments. Now, I don't know if I'm missing that, but I don't see that reference. He specifically made mention that, and that's how I recall it, he specifically made mention that the Alpha 2B is not available in South Africa, but those that are that were approved and authorized were Beta 1A and Beta 1B of that Hebron. So I don't know whether I'm just misreading it or whether it is not here at all.
You will recall that it was...
Yes?
Yes, that was Professor Violet. Can you go up to the end? Correct. Can you go to page 4 and check if that there is no reference to that?
Nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing. And Brian, can you just go back to the record? Just go back to the record, highlight it and reference it accordingly.
Not at
yet, right?
Not at all.
Okay, let's go to page 4. This is page 4. Page 5. Right to the end of the
can I suggest chairperson that Ms. Woodward on point on 8, where it says to really confirm that she assumes political responsibility for the procurement of Hebron. I think we must put it Hebron Alpha but the specific name so that there's not confusion between the two Hebrons, the Alpha 2B and the B. Because
Wisdom.
First Wisdom. The Hebron. Alpha. The Booty.
Okay. You look right up to the first one, but indicating which shepherd we are dealing with. But we are we not? Just, so it's alpha 2b, yes?
We are in 2.
Yes,
and it's any bracket that the better difference between ground to
the material.
So we can isolate it right in the middle.
There's a problem with the system. Brian, please do so. Of the minute to April, we are referring. Colleagues, what was discussed at the meeting?
The
any more
in
the second one? Chess. point and the condition was the briefing by the former advisory council, advisory council on military deterrence on its report for the term and the consideration and achievement of the report of the defense committees on its visit to the colleagues, can you select the basis and the mainland border post? And that's of course the consideration and adoption of outstanding minutes. Right, this is the attendance record. It just goes right up to the end of the record, attendance record. Thank you, the attendance record. Okay, go down two of the document. The correction. Go to page 3 of the document. Any correction? And the page 3 of the document, page 4 of the document. And the correction? Page 5 of the document. Any correction? Order. That's page 5 of the document of the minutes. The true reflection of what transpired at the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Attendance Record. It is the first. It is just two. The second
is
one. This is second. And the correction, the adoption of the mayor. Thank you so much. Can we then go to the next slide? I think the fourth slide. Yeah. Right. These are the minutes. It was a follow-up meeting, and then two was the SACC, Military Particular Association, and the last meeting was the adoption. Right. Page 3. And the color. Page 4. And page 5. Page 4. And then, this the true reflection of what was discussed in the last meeting.
For the adoption.
It is the true reflection. Modisa moves for adopting seconded by. Thank you so much. Can we then move to the. Minutes of the 5th of February 2020. It was a briefing on the second quarterly report and feedback on the B2R recommendations, briefing on the audit action implementation plan, consideration and adoption of outstanding minutes and the reports of the committee, tabling of complaints from members of the public and adoption of the committee program for the first term. Okay, let's go to the attendance record. Is the attendance record any correction? Let's go to page 2. Page 2. to attend as well. What a question. Correction. H4. Okay, this is the last page. Is this the full reflection of what was discussed at the last meeting? Can I get him over? The second?
I move, Chair.
The person moves. Can I get him over?
Seconded, Chair.
Tabu Mote seconds. Thank you so much. Colleagues, thank you very much. Disposed of the minutes. Can we then move to the next item of the agenda? It's the briefing by the Department of Defense. Correct?
That is correct, sir.
Thank you very much. And I did not ask who is leading the from the Department of Defense. Maybe it is the opportunity to do so and welcome all of them to the leader and the delegation, and welcome the leader and the delegation to this meeting. All right, may I get an indication who is going to, who's leading the delegation, and invite him or her to give us his or her opening remarks. Over to you, DOD.
Thank you,
Chair
President, and honorable members. The person who's leading the delegation is Dr. Kamede. But at the moment, he just stepped out. He will be joining us in the next 2 to 3 minutes. So she's the one who's leading the delegation, Chair.
Okay. In which case, who was going to take us through the report? She will have the opportunity to wind up the presentation at the end. Who's going to check us through the report?
Of or any procedures of quarterly reporting in order to have a effective monitoring and evaluation, and where possible, putting these corrective measures in place. I'm going to move quickly and just indicate to members on slide 6 that we are reporting on an adjusted according to the adjusted budget due to COVID-19. Quarter 1 was reporting against the first the ATP. When we go to on how we should report on financial and non-financial information. Okay, I'm quickly going to go to slide 8, and here we are just indicating that there were additional reporting requirements due to COVID-19. And that diagram just shows that we flew the result-based model that we use in the department. The impact that is required, that can be in our strategic plan, and that is to enhance and contribute to peace, security, and stability in the RA, the region, and the world at large. Then if you move down, you are going to see that we have two outcomes. One pertains to the work of the Defense Secretary, that is governance and accountability. The second one pertains then to execute water commitments. All important check is what is in that inside that red rectangle. And that is 5 outputs that we are reporting against. Again, the first one pertains to the work of the Fed, and that is strategic direction. Then we have 2, 3, 4, and 5. And all of those pertain to the work of the chief. Everyone is Now, the audio response to COVID-19. Which is on slide 8, were including residents in the deaf, who are the ones who are coordinating between PTS Club and BG, as well as also chairing Net Join BG. We are also reporting that during this time, which is for us, in which she or he at the time was giving direction and planning to various web streams. There are various web streams that are working to support the NCCC. And then together with other web streams, advise the president to move from slide 19, Chair, we are showing the program, and this is the educate you the number of the reserve force utilization during the period of other review and then during the second quarter. Ordinarily, according to our plan, we had planned for 2.6 MMA, but due to opioid failure, by the end of quarter two, we had utilized 1.4 billion, and which means that by the end of October, we had utilized 352,486 men days over and above the planned men days. And again, the deployment, the members, I'm not going to read this out, is just indicated still on A22 is a breakdown. All in all, the men days utilized was to the average of 2.7. And then on slide 25, the table indicates the deployment of reserve force members per organization. And again, members can see for themselves there that South African Army had more mandates deployed. On 10/26 during quarter two, we also over and above what I've indicated there is we had some health and humanitarian support that was conducted. For example, the scanning, the screening, as well as other health activities that were performed in hospitals. And that is the scanning of the staff. Then on slide 27, we are talking about the activities of the defense force to assist with water purification support. And what you see in that slide is a breakdown of areas where the purification and distribution is okay. The probe joins the daily and weekly deployment of the SNDF. You have the digital control point and patrol. And on slide 29 was more law enforcement outcomes. During quarter two, the details below indicates the activities and law enforcement activities that happened, moving from weapons and ammunition that were confiscated to contraband to the value of about 884,000, just a little bit more than 884,000 in rand. On slide 30, still during the second quarter, there is a detail of our own force protection. And there we are indicating how many were scanned, screened, members that were quarantined, as well as the samples that were tested from our own members. Slide 31 indicates FFS, the ending of the quarter, 65, the stat on positive cases, recovered cases. Then on allowances and additional wages did affect our HR expenditure. The current projected HR over expenditure due to this will be 3 billion, just a little bit above 3 billion. And that will include the projected expenditure on off the term, which was, I think, expenditure repatriation from Wuhan, not Shenzhen, which we all know and we follow, which is almost, which is a continuation of the fight against COVID-19. The DOD did receive additional allocation of 3 billion rand, and from this, 763 was specifically for COE, which is Court of Employees. We then requested additional 900 with COE, and this was to be reprioritized from within from Goods and Services and the FDA. And this was approved by National Treasury. Now, on page 35, we are indicating the projected HR stress and expenditure. Chair, I must say here that the planned HR strength, the average planned HR strength was 75,000, but it was amended down to 73,293. And that is one due to the posts that were not filled after it became vacant. And two is the cancellation of the intake of the general 2021 intake. So the actual strength at the end of the first quarter was 72,950, which was lower than the planned average strength of 74,383. On slide 36, we still continue with the projected HR strength and expenditure. We are saying here that the volume factors influence the projected shortfall for 2020-2021. Now, members will be aware that there was a court case in which the union state government fought because of the government was not salary. Maybe a saving of 1.1 billion, we have already made that saving. However, members will be aware that the union are planning to take the government to the constitutional court, so we might find ourselves having to pay it out, but for now we're keeping this as a saving. The other factor was the cancellation of the intake, as well as now the amended strength of 73,293. The TSEC, which is the Public Service Act Personnel Medical Contribution, is also expected to increase with 8.1, and that will be with effect from January 2021 in accordance with national federal guidelines. Still on the projected strength and expenditure, should the annual increase not be paid, the projected expenditure will be 32 billion. With an over expenditure of 1,970,000,000. In other words, the over expenditure will be lower than the originally planned in over expenditure. But should the annual increase be implemented according to the consumer price index of approximately contribute towards the projected shortfall. Now, we are moving to corporate governance and accountability. Here, what I can indicate is that the CEPEL provided strategic direction to the department through various governance activities and interventions. This included timely decision making on strategic and defense diplomacy matters. Now, even though during this time there was less traveling, but diplomatic activities didn't took place, we still maintained to maintain our existing relationship with friendly countries. We still tried to communicate by email. We still try to communicate telephonically with our partners. So there were activities that took place during this time. Also, what other government activities like effective management and processing of official documents, the chairing of command bodies in the department, as well as the attendance of director general meetings and cabinet masters, as well as government cluster meetings and activities. The command of forces, here we are reflecting on the MPSS during the quarter under review, and this is mainly in the domain of the Chief of the Defence Force. We have an indicator on the number of general subunits that are employed in border security. And then we also have coastal patrol that are conducted by Chief of the Navy. And we will give details later on. And Trial Priority 7, which is a better Africa and a better world, in other words, international relations, we comply with the number of activities during the period under review, and that included external designation, rescue operations, as well as humanitarian assistance. On slide 42, we indicating there that under Priority 6 have already indicated our activities to execute for Corona in the borders. I'm not going to read the areas where this is. And we're also indicating that during quarter three of Corona, the maritime coastal patrol did not happen, and that is due to the delay in the supply of or the delivery of space due to COVID-19. So the coastal patrols were done mainly during quarter one and during quarter two. Therefore, all in all, we still have three coastal patrols that were done out of four that are planned. Our activities to support the students here. And that is mostly we do this to support staff. So here the South African Air Force provided the support to staff in an anti-poaching operation in the Western Cape. And on slide 46, we're reporting on Oxerion, which is the disaster aid and relief. And here again, the Defense Force assisted with Cape Beth, a climber that is in the Cedar Mountain in the Western Cape in October 2020. And also another one where a victim of the team of an accident in KwaZulu-Natal was quite in the area of Pinetown. On slide 47 is of Arabella, which is the search and rescue operation. And this was done to assist the patient that was on a vessel, Umzabalazo. And this was in support to Maritime Rescue Coordination Center. And the patient was sent to Port Steele Hospital in Cape Town. Now we are reporting on selected performance indicators. What I can indicate, Chair, here, is that the total number of events attached, we had understood them. There was a slight downward movement of with regard to the number of new services development since the MSD. And the reason being that some of the trainings were halted due to COVID-19. I'm just going to focus on where we didn't do well. It's slightly where we did well, but slightly downward improvement was the percentage compliance in the Southern African Development Community and by school. And again here, it was due to a offer that did not take place during this time. And on slide 50, since the selected indicators, percentage compliance with, I'm just going to indicate that the gym exercises, they didn't take place and that was due to COVID-19. Then we performed at 1% on both the flying hours and the sea hours. This is part of this one because of resources. The vessel that is set was alongside and so on. On slide 51, we are just giving a breakdown of the numbers of hours that were closed by the FO. And we are giving a 3-year history just for members to see the performance over a period of 3 years from 2018 to 2020. All in all, when you look at how we did is that all in all we flew 10,000 instead, just over 10,000 instead of the planned 17, over 17,000. When it comes to the sea hours, we had 10,000 planned and we performed just over 6,000 hours. So the performance center on slide 54, I'm indicating now the performance during quarter three. The two reds that the members see were mostly in the area on the left hand side. Number of the percentage adherence to policies diabetes do well, as well as the percentage of strategy. And while COVID-19 did play a role, I wouldn't want to put all the blame on COVID-19. Part of the challenges we have with policies is capacity problems. And with strategies, some of the strategies are actually depending on the higher order strategies that have not been finalized yet. Then on the second rate, members can see that most of those, actually not most, all the three are about training. And this was due to COVID-19, that in some areas the training was stopped. Then on slide 55, I'm indicating that out of 14, quarter two, out of 14 targets, we achieved 7, and we didn't do well on another 7. In quarter three, we achieved 8, and we didn't do well in a target. On slide 57, the change is the summary of the state of expenditure at the end of the third quarter. The expenditure that was planned was 75.3%, and we slightly underspent because the actual expenditure was 70.2, which is a delta of 5.4%. One of the reasons for this is that there were no salary increases for part 7 due to the restriction on traveling, and therefore there were no incentives. Also, AMSCO had to assist with the procurement of COVID-19 medical supply. On slide 58, we are just indicating there on just for ease of reference, the column that is blue is indicating the amount of spending, and the actual is a slightly underspending, because the actual, which is in green, is 38 billion. So that is a variance of 2.9 billion, which is 7.1% variance. They are not going to repeat the slide on slide 59 because it's a reputation, but according to a economic classification. And what I can indicate here is that when you look at the goods and services, one can see that as an understanding, but there was a reprioritization there in order to go and class the care of the COE. post-employment, as an indicator here, Chair, that this is actually the only program where they spend more than planned. And obviously it's because of the activities that happened here during the Okunokela period. The event, air defense, again, there was an understanding and we're indicating reasons for that understanding. On slide 62, it's still the reason for understanding. And we indicated here at the beginning that in the delivery day of the shifted to the right, there was a delay. And then the general support deals with the invoices today. The public way and already indicated the reason why when it comes to the payment to public way. Now I'm going to go to irregular expenditure share. The total irregular expenditure during the period
may I ask you to not go ahead with the presentation on irregular expenditure because it is an agenda item. We'll come back to this presentation once we have concluded the discussion on the first presentation. Is that in order, Dr. Kamede?
Yes, I'm okay with that.
All right, colleagues, you may then withdraw the presentation from the screen. Thank you very much. I'm now inviting the comments, and I see Mr. Mare's hand. Mr. Mare.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Dr. Kamede, for a very good some information. On your slide 17, you have indicated the overspend. And I just maybe want you to unpack that a little bit for us in terms of especially, you know, you've indicated that I think it's 730 something million. We were informed at the stage that an additional 2.8 million rand was assigned or allocated in the COVID budget, if I can use that phrase, whilst you've requested I think it was 4.5 million. So under us, that was indicated as a possible shortfall of a further 1.7 billion rand. However, your calculations and numbers that you've given doesn't seem to reflect that. Maybe if you can just elaborate on that. And then on slide 44, specifically I want to find out whether the indications is that if the three of those bullets is the only
three items that represents the 5.4 deviation. What about other backlogs that might be there, especially you've referred to DIRCO backlogs. So in other words, it seems like there are other expenses other than the three that you have mentioned. So I just want clarity on that so that, you know, one can balance these information. Then I also want on your slide 60, just a clarification on the on that information, whether this, again, and it refers back to an earlier question of mine in terms of the specifically the COVID amendment budget that was announced last year, and whether there was any money that was used for this purpose. Because it seems like you're not referring to those money that I'm under the impression was an additional allocation to the defense budget. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Murray. Any other taker, Ms. Bukas?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to thank the department for the presentation, and I must mention, Chair, that they really make us proud during this period. I, however, Chair, have a concern about them not reaching the targets. And the reason that they give is that they did not get information from DIRCO and DPW in time. But Chair, except from the COVID lockdown impact, is there a communication blockage between the State Department, or is it just that they don't have the capacity to follow up on information needed from those departments? And also, Chair, because of the manpower, and also, Chair, did they engage timelessly with National Treasury on reasons for deviation? Thank you, Chair.
Are you done?
I'm done, Chair. Yes, thank you.
Are you done? Give us the responses. Yes, Ms.
Can you copy, Chair? Am I muted?
Okay,
thank you, Chair. Just want to, before I give to my team to assist here, just want to indicate to the Honourable Murray that the three bullets that we said are the reasons for under spending are not the only. If you look at the presentation, it says give the three bullets, then after that it gives under secondary the main contributing factors, and we then indicate other secondary factors. In other words, not the only, but it's the main, then you have other factors that I have alluded to in the presentation. And then CSO can take on the, because they are the ones who communicate with DIRCO on the invoices, to then deal with the issue of invoices and pick up the case, you know, invoices. So if there are invoices, invoices, as well as the issue on the page.
Achieve of the best as well as the team from the FSI. And we have agreed that there is so much that we reconcile you. Questions coming from the different countries, and then we should be making the reconciliation for that before we want to make sure that what we are paying for is something that is being accounted for. That is the pleasure. Chairperson, as of now, as I'm speaking to you, I received the letter from the public works. We want to make sure that what we are paying for is with me. They claim that we are owing the amount of 600 million. On our side, we are claiming that no, we don't. Was supposed to change the public works, support the machines, able to end that duplication. Thousands of the deals, you'll find that effect, you know, that is occupied by the people to another department. That's why I'm checking this.
Dr. Gamede has
sufficient equipment has become a challenge, given the issues of funding. So therefore, and this issue is the reality, and this is why even today we still have the same challenge. It is the reality, Chairperson, and it's not only just the spares, but it's also underfunding, as was indicated by Honorable Magret. Thank you, Chairperson.
Of the optional tender, can we going to clarify the optional tender now? Mr. Shibimika is dealing with that matter, so she can clarify that.
Thank you, the Department of Defense requested an amount of 4.5 billion at the beginning to national treasure. But in June, when the budget was allocated, we allocated 3 billion. And of the 3 billion, 7.3 was COE, and the balance was 2.2 would have been with the service. The department also agreed to turn out the celebration, which amounted to an amount of about 1.2 billion. And that is what we had in the budget. I'm not sure what the question exactly was, but to date we have spent an amount of about 2.7 billion. And of the 2.7 billion, 1 billion is still in cost.
And the final one is honorable UKIPs wanted to know whether we engage traditional treasury and private sector deviation controlling. And my understanding is that that is done monthly. So we do that monthly check. We have now exhausted all the questions, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tamede. Help me on. Yes, I'll come back to you, Ms. Peters. Just help me on this one, Dr. Tamede. It's I think it's slide number 21. It's about, it talks to the DOD force levels during the operation Matlala, and to give us the breakdown of the personnel that was deployed in that period. July is 8,150, August is 8,429, and September 7,693, and giving an average of 8,091 members that were deployed over the period in question. Now, how do I reconcile this with the letters of the president? The first letter was deploying, the first letter in 2020. I think it was in March, was deploying 2,820 members of the SNDF, and then the second letter increased the numbers to 76,000, and then the third letter reduced the numbers from 76,000 to 20,000. And because we're referring to this period, the second quarter and the third quarter, how do I reconcile the letters that are in the letters of the president over the period with the letters that with the figures that you are giving us today? That would be my question. And then let me just now recognize Ms. Bickers. Ms. Bickers?
The
saying that DPW was asking for a meeting, but it did not happen. I think because it has an impact on the report of defense. And he also said that they want to be careful not to pay another department bill. Now my question is, did it happen once, or is it a new problem? And what did they do so far to address that problem? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Mr. Mare.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, another problem that maybe was not mentioned here, and that's the enormous backlogs for payments to municipalities. I mean, last night I was informed of a specific municipality in the Western Cape where the DOD is owing them 13 million rand. I've just received this morning again of a municipality in Mpumalanga, and we know what happened at the Notter, and it seems like there are a huge problem in terms of the transfer of accounts from DPW to the Department of Defense, and there seems to be a huge backlog of accounts not being paid to date, or where the DOD is not registered on their database, or the municipality is not registered on the database of the Department of Defense. Now, obviously, if the department is not paying their water and electricity bills, my information is it will be cut. So, and we cannot allow that. So what is the, there's no feedback on that, and I would very much like to get, you know, the responses and the progress and what we can do to bring that under the attention of the department, so that you know, our soldiers are not disenfranchised in the whole matter. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. Colleagues, no, thank you very much. That takes care of all the comments and the questions. May I now invite you, Dr. Kamede, to come back on stage?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to quote the one that was asked by the Honourable Speaker with the Honourable Mara, because it deals with DPW. One, whether there was an instance where we indicated the payment and paid for another department. And two, how the results of the payment of the municipality to be able to do that check.
Thank you, Chairperson. First question from Honourable Bukas, that at the meeting that we postponed. It will take means we are trying to arrange from tomorrow onwards, but it will depend to the ability of the CFO, because when we spoke yesterday, he was indicating that he might not be available this week. He might be available next week, but I would like, given myself, that meeting to take place as soon as possible, so that we know what is happening this year. We've managed to pay everything that is due this year. So my team and myself, we are pushing for that meeting. The question that the issue of the duplication, Chairperson, if one looks in terms of the issue of the lease register, it's easy to duplicate it and then you correct it in the following months. But what we are trying to do now, we are trying to reconcile best to make sure that everything that is appearing on the lease register, it gets corrected before we pay. So it's not a new problem, Jefferson. It's not a new problem. If I can highlight to you that as from September last year, because of this problem, we formed a task team of which is led by myself on the DOD side, and on the public website, it's formed by the CFO that side as well. Because we wanted to make sure that all these problems that we are facing at the moment, it can be resolved as soon as possible, because each and every month you find that the figures that we are getting from public works, it's not reconciled. It's really not. As I'm saying, according to their sheet, we are owing 600 million. But according to us, we are not owing that amount. So if the continuous problem, we will try to resolve as much as possible. Chairperson, in terms of the question of Mr. Marais, you are quite correct, Honorable Marais. You are quite correct in terms of municipality charges as well. Okay. In terms of municipality charges, they are a backlog as well. Not the backlog that is created by the DOD. Remember, we only pay once we reconcile those invoices, and then we verify that those municipal services is being accrued to the. Also discussing this, and then reconcile chapters. Thank you.
Let me try to respond to the chair, to answer to the chair's question on the numbers that were given by the 50 numbers that were interested on.
Thank you, Dr. Chairperson. The numbers that are not reflected on the figures that are indicated on the slide 23 as actual. The numbers that are not indicated there, what happens is you put them on 25-hour standby. Now that implies that when they are on 25-hour standby, you have got a saving because they would not be entitled to any allowance if need be. So that's how you go about it. But then what then you do is that you then reconcile the budget that you had against the actual deployment that has taken place, which is therefore then the people that were physically deployed for the operation. So that's how then you reconcile the numbers in this regard. I'm not sure if you're then it's been.
Thank you, Chair. We have answered all the questions.
Thank you very much, colleagues. I think we are done with this report. I think you've done a good job, starting with you, Dr. Kamete, well presented. Maybe let me start with people who put the report together. Well packaged, well presented. Comprehensive, and thank you very much. And you've answered the questions, satisfactorily. Thank you very much. Can we now move off to the next item, the information on the irregular expenditure, colleagues? I asked Willem to track our discussion on the irregular expenditure and the consequence management with the department. He prepared the research paper and Brian circulated it to all the members. You may find that document interesting. And so when they do the presentation, you look at the presentation they are making against the information that they've presented to the committee in the last few meetings where we interacted with them on the same subject. With that, I now invite Dr. Kamete to take us through this item. Thank you so much. Over to you, Dr. Kamete.
I will then continue to the slide 63, where we begin with matters of irregular expenditure as management that the PCD has been requesting us to indicate how we are going to deal with this matter. And CHR, who is sitting here with us, has made a presentation to the PCD on certain options or interventions that we are dealing with and change in order to try and alleviate the pressure that we had. On slide 64, in quarter 3, the irregular expenditure amounted to 167 million, and it comprised of a number of activities or incidents that were not correct. One is due to under a bidding process for an asset management contract. The other one was we did not obtain approval from National Treasury on time. Members will know that if there is an extension of the contract, if that extension is above 15%.
on the fact that they could not expenditure. That they system to detect
seems like it, eh? Yeah.
Where is freezing?
Yeah, go ahead.
The system kicked me out, my apologies.
Yeah.
Did the meeting go
the repeated concerns, and then you just froze on the screen, so we couldn't pick up it.
Oh, thank you very much. And the AG even said that the investigations in the Department of Misconduct takes a very long period with them other being forwarded, and as a result there are no consequences. If there are no consequences, it means that you can't even be judged as it's required by the judge. I just want to that his response is now before Ms. Modise and then Mr. Murray.
Thank you so much, Chair. I think previously the AG lack of a consequence management plan. Now I want to urge the department
furnish us with the consequence management plan that they might have in place. And this is that have been that are with the military police and a lot of other investigators are currently conducting. But we, thus far, we have not received any investigations or what are the findings and in regard to any repercussions that might come from those investigations. So we want to urge the department that we have noted the challenges over time now, proper discipline and management into that and really.
Thank you very much, Mr. McKinney. What both you and Mr. Modise said, all those are absolutely.
I don't want to sound arrogant, but the department will know that many of these, what are the general concerns, are not here from this year. They are there from the previous parliament. Repetition and a reoccurring of exactly the Auditor General. They are certainly not what the reason the Treasury regulations, we are bound by that. And there must be a good reason why year on year National Treasury regulations and PFMA is not met. That is my one concern. Then I want to ask, what is the role of the military police? Is that only to register a case, or does the military police has the specialist capacity to do investigations into financial transactions and PFMA related matters? Because this is not just an ordinary case for an ordinary police or a with the greatest of respect to an ordinary military policeman. This is very, very specialized. So what is the role of the military police in this regard? And because it affects public funding, must the case not be laid or be registered with the South African Police Service, in other words, the National Prosecuting Authority, because they must the case not be a be late or
how to implement those
The other question that was raised by the Honorable Mares in terms of complying with the PSMA as well as the federal regulation. Chairperson, as I indicated, that those two officials, which is the Mr. Mauro and Ms. Sibylle, they are training the staff to say what compliance they should be implementing on everybody, Chairperson. So the role of the military police of General Ramaswamy would be handling that one. Chairperson, in terms of the transmission system, it is a nightmare. I need to point out, police believe that the system that the DOD is using is very, very old system. Very, very old system. In 2016, there was a team that was sent from the presidency, which was made by the presidency together with DPSA and National Treasury to query me to say, why do we not see as a finance the invoices that are not even paid? Chairperson, just in now, I cannot tell you how many invoices are. So the question that we keep on asking, when all the departments, Chairperson, were moving from SMS, well in 200, okay, you'll find that when they were moving to bus and lorries, you'll find that the DOD did not move. They remember the system, the financial system that that DOD is using. It was used when we are reporting in terms of the expenditure and actual expenditure only. But when we implementing the PSMA, it's really not compatible really to give us the information on time. But if you go to the other departments, immediately when you press pass, it seems that it begs to notice to see how many orders are outstanding. If it's not matching with those orders, it takes the invoice immediately. If the POD does not match, it kicks immediately. But if the system of DOD does not do that, it's a Chairperson, the system that we are using is like a manual system, to be honest. It's like a manual system that it does not give the correct information. Remember, in terms of this system, Chairperson, there was a reason for the government to change it from SMS to BES and notice. Go inside the Chairperson. If you go to like National Treasury, they even have an advantage as well because they're using ERP system over and above the system that was implemented in 2001-2003. If you go to DELCO, they are using a very sophisticated system, which is the HACCP system, of which is a part of the ERP. But look at the DOD. You bet sometimes a person to find from the transaction to say, is it irregular or not? But the problem is, Chairperson, if you don't do it manually to make sure that you are reconciled, you might lose quite a lot of invoices. The system that we are using, Chairperson, is a very frustrating system. I need to say that. The other thing, the system that we are using, most of the same time, it's down. It's down. So the legal system is very, very poor when it comes to the duty checkers. Thank you.
Thanks,
Chairperson. With regards to the role of the Ministry of Police, the Ministry of Police do have the mandate to investigate cases, and which is their major role in the SANDF and the Department of Defense. However, I think the most critical issue when it comes to these investigations of this nature is the issue of jurisdiction. Now, the issue of jurisdiction comes in when you have the entities that, by their nature, are not within the Department of Defense. And therefore, one example that I can give probably is there is a company that has got to be, the investigation needs to take place, and the company is involved in certain things. In this particular instance, what will then happen is that the Ministry of Police will refer cases all work together with the other institutions that are responsible, separating yourselves, which will be your FIU, and the others that are involved in this case. So in the cases of this nature, the Ministry of Police does work with other institutions of other state institutions to ensure that these cases are investigated successfully. And one thing to say is that there are a number of dynamics in the course of the investigation of this, which I think they do play a role when it comes to the speedy completion of the case. And maybe if I may, just to give one example, they investigate, and then for them they must clear certain things with prosecutors to go back and go and check. So the system in itself is quite complex. But I think the CFO has summarized this, most probably then the institutions within the defense force that are dealing with these cases. Maybe the honorable members would like to interact with them just to get some more details in this regard. And I think that would be a good regard.
Thank you, Admiral.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Chairperson of the PTB. May I start quickly with a question on the removal of offenders in welcome to the field of vacancies for status authorized. I can just mention that in 2018-2019, especially the procurement environment, we actually removed people that were unfortunately found not to be following due processes that obviously contributed to expenditure was not made, and the decision was made at the time to remove all of them, at least procurement. And then we have done in 2018 and 2019. Some of them are hence getting, and I think obviously another process that we followed and have known some of those members are the one that are currently to police, were actually suspended, and some of them were placed on leave as instruction by the chief, and those investigations are currently placed as you speak. The only challenge that we face is that before somebody is found guilty, you cannot administrate security to somebody. So that process must certainly be completed before we get to shut down. But the ultimate end state is basically one that people are found guilty, to follow the process in terms of administrative discharge. I can just say to the portfolio committee that there was something that had been done in terms of some of those people that we should identify who we believe that they need not to do what they're supposed to do in terms of managing the resources of the state accordingly. On the issue of the filling of vacancies, I just want to be controversial on this one. Sometimes we always think that all vacancies are funded. If you look at our item 10-2, and then the shortages that we have in terms of item 10, it's not easy to say all our vacancies are funded. We do stop posts because of the critical nature of the post, because the posts are active. They have got what we call the dead status. We start them only on those spaces, but technically speaking, we don't have funds to start paying for. I just wanted to start with the controversy. So if we really were doing the correct thing in terms of starting off the post and confirming the funding, we would not have actually been starting any posts. But we accept that, yes, there are certain critical posts that need to be staffed. They are active in terms of our system, and then we actually just identify the posts and say, based on the item 10 budget, we will obviously continue putting in some of the posts. That's how we actually continue with that. Otherwise, we would not even have this regular expenditure that you're talking about. We will stick in terms of starting the weekend. So always, when this discussion comes, I will say, there is no funded post as we speak now that I can say they are vacant. I mean, the way I always talk about this issue of funded posts, we don't have funded posts. But yes, in terms of the time frame to fill the posts, whether they are funded or not funded, we have moved, yes, last year we came with the instruction of GBC, because then we must try to fill all our posts between 3 to 6 months. I have not been able to assess whether the 3 to 6 months is working as yet, because COVID also caught up with us. The instruction was, if I can call us, signed around April. So the reason is there was a lot of space in terms of treatment and post-transplant posts to take between 18 to 24 months, even longer than that, because we are filled, and I was concerned about that issue, to say why it takes so long. But the challenge was that we were going through the full vetting of the candidates that are identified to be without on the spot. Unfortunately, that took the long process. And when we say, after the short meeting and the interviews of the people, you don't do the full vetting of the individual through CDI or radio CDI, will just obviously check whether there are possibilities that this person will be involved in certain analysis, etc. That system should not be too long, like when you go through the normal vetting where you issue the security together. You just do a quick staging of the individual profile and appoint the person and try to use the 12 months of the probationary period to say if we pick up something in the 12 months, we will not renew or continue with your appointment. But the 12 months does give us a grace to say after 12 months, if we don't have to agree, we have to confirm you into a permanent position that we are taking back to. But we will obviously be able to monitor whether the system is working now based on the instruction that we have signed last year once we start moving out of COVID. But I can confirm that those ones that we are dealt with at the past, the last 2 years, we actually moving in terms of finalizing the starting of those posts, and we very close to finalizing all the posts currently as the first time.
I can see the CFO wants me to ask more questions. He's got that anxiety, that anxiousness in his face. He wants me to ask more questions.
Yeah, I think the chair is being kicked out of the meeting.
Yeah. Yes, yes, well.
I see there's a hand from Comrade Modise, Honorable Modise,
and myself,
Honorable
Thank Marie. You very much. Thank you very much, Acting Chair.
Yes, Honorable Modise.
Okay, I think it was the previous thing that did not take down.
No, it's fine. Honorable Marie.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair. Much appreciated. Just three issues that has come up now. The one, Secretary of Defense, or Dr. Gomedi, on behalf of the Secretary of Defense, what has been mentioned to us about the systems and the outdatedness of the systems is obviously your responsibility as the accounting officer of the Department of Defense. I know that you cannot give us an answer at the moment, but my request would be that you come back to us in terms of how this problem can be solved, because we cannot go on like this. It seems like the staff's hands are tied behind their backs, and they must do a job that we require, not only us, but the Treasury and the legislation the PFMA requires from them to do. So we have to address this, and my request would be if you can come up with a proposal to us in terms of the system, but also the cost and how we can possibly fund it. Then secondly, in terms of the CFO, my question that I always ask you, you remember at the Lakhotla, I asked you whether we have got money for hotel and biro, and you said no. But then I asked Arms Corps, who is the procurement arm, whether they have got the money to pay for this inshore patrol vessel that must be delivered, I assume, April, around about April, May this year. Later, the first one and the second one we already know is they are starting. And hotels, because that's also a work in progress, and it's developed quite far down the line. Will we have the money to pay our obligations through with regards to those two projects? And if we then cannot pay that, what will be the consequences for not only the department but also the government if we cannot meet that obligations under the Special Defense Account project? That is very, very important, because if I'm correct, there are government guarantees on all those projects. Then lastly, and this is probably also a question to the Secretary of Defense, it was reported in the past that there will be a interministerial or high-level interministerial task team at, and Department of Defense on how to move forward on the shortage of funds or the deficit of funds, for the defense capabilities of the South African National Defense Force. Has any progress been made in that regard? And is there any feedback that we can get, even if we get it in writing afterwards from the Minister or the Secretary of Defense? Thank you very much, Acting Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Marais. Before I hand over to Dr. Gamet and her delegation, maybe in addition to us on the question that raised by Honorable Marais, is to get a clarity from the CEO with regard to the system that has been highlighted as a problem. To find out whether there are plans from the department to get the system that will respond to all those challenges that we have raised and move from the system that is not far from manual system in order for the department to be able to mitigate or these issues that has been seen as a problematic as a result of the current system. Because we can't, from time to time, put a blame on the system. It means we have clearly identified what the problem is and what are we doing to address that particular problem. Honorable Mafanya.
I did raise my hand. I think you didn't notice.
No, I didn't notice because you raised it after Honorable Murray. Thank you, but the platform is yours.
Okay, pleasure. Mine is just a comment, Honorable Chair, Acting Chair, including the Chair and colleagues. A lot of issues that have been highlighted here. It's a repeat of all the deliberations that we went through. And then if you consider in the last parliament, the same problems were highlighted and then they come in different shapes and sizes, but they remain the same. Now, my comment is for other colleagues in the committee to begin to probe some of the deliberations that passed now, that we cannot forever be blaming systems whereby there are solutions to that. And also there has been an issue also on areas of the public works versus the DOP. We know all of these problems, but we expect to have an improvement of the things that were mentioned before, that we shouldn't be rehashing the problems that we have dealt with in the past. The reality is that some of the things that are said are not new, and the solutions also, the so-called solutions are not also new, because we are always confronted with issues that in the future we intend doing A, B, and C, but nothing happens. And also on the issue of consequence management, that has been a problem in all sectors of the DOD. Has got to take the responsibility of seeing that all things that are said and done are actually executed in the manner that is expected of the DOD in different departments. And SADF as well must also come out in and explain to some of the things that have been mentioned in the past, that we are rehashing and talking in every meeting that we talk about the same. The same thing, and there's no forward movement on our part to say we have come with solutions, we have achieved 1, 2, and 3. All the time there are issues that we haven't achieved anything, and yet we come back and then having highlighted even in the past have not been addressed. So we need as a community to have a position to say what happens. We cannot have this continuation forever. What should happen? And how should it be done? Who must be held accountable, including our own political head, who must also account to some of this? Because if she doesn't crack the whip, we'll always be confronted with such issues. Thanks. Thank you, teacher.
Thank you, Honorable Mafanya. Yeah, I think the essence of what honorable members are saying is to find out from you, Dr. Gamet, and your team, that you have identified the problem, what are you doing to address that particular problem? Because you can't identify it and begin to point fingers at each other. It will not assist. Or come into this meeting and saying, hey, no, this is the problem. What are you doing? Have you checked what system will work? Have you costed? We understand that there's a budgetary constraint, but it's something that can be addressed if there is a will. You must have the same figure that you have when dealing with other things that are problematic to address this matter. Yeah, over to you, Dr. Kamete, and your team.
Thank you, Chair. I have to first indicate that let me see now where I am. Okay,
Honorable Murray, that we come back to indicate what are the steps to address the system, the challenges that we have regarding the system, and also that we must come with a plan that is cost-based to do that. Now, I look at you, Chair. You have indicated, obviously, and I accept that we cannot come here all the time and complain about the same thing all over and over again, Chair. So may I request, Chair, respectfully, that question about what we are doing, we put it together with the action that the committee is suggesting, that we come back with a plan that is a cost-based plan. That's so that when we don't just give you a verbal undertaking of what we are doing or what we are going to do, but to actually come back with certain concept, which is the plan that is cost-based, and then we indicate to the committee whether or not we will have funds to deal with this. If the committee agrees, then I would request the CFO to deal with the issue of Biro and hotel and the consequences of this matter. Chair, there was also a request that we come with a consequence management plan. So we can put these things together, which are the suggestions which have been suggested by the committee. But from our side, we have suggested that maybe we have a session where we actually bring the people who deal with the investigation to the cases, as well as who deal with SDM, but especially the investigation of the cases. So that when we come back to you, if that is accepted by the committee, then we can come back to you with the two activities that would be concrete, and then we come.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hope that the honourable member, Marais, asking for 21-22 financial year, because for 2021, the full cost was budgeted for. For 21-22 financial year, there is no budget that is allocated to Biro and hotel, which will be, but what is going to happen? We are going to take the matter to the PTSD, which is made out of all the PPGs as well as the three stars and the chief and the inspector, to put a suggestion how we must deal with it and see if we will get the approval, because definitely the amount that will be available for the SDA will be between 800 to only a billion next year, of which it's not going to cover everything. So I have to take this matter to the senior management.
Thank you, Chair. With that, me.
Thank you for those reasons.
Seems like we've also lost the acting chair.
Oh, no. Sorry, I was muted.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, the technological error. But I was saying, I see the chair is back in the meeting, and I must hand over back to the chair and indicate that What he had missed was just basically came to a conclusion or a resolve or a way forward that suggests that the department will have to come back to the to present their plan to respond to all the challenges that they just in that their plan and so forth and so on. They will tell us that they are in terms of investigation, what are the consequence management plan that they are employing, so forth and so on. So yeah, basically we are agreeing on that we forward the consequence. I will hand over.
Comrade Chavo, may you continue the meeting? My system is a bit unstable.
Chavo, please go to the mountain. Please go to the mountain.
Some of the exciting work that we are busy with. I must up apologize upfront. We felt it necessary to add some illustrative slides, which is just the pictures, so that as we are sharing what the work that you are doing, but at least the committee can experience it. And as they say, the picture tells 1,000 stories. So we've got two or three slides that will just beam, which we don't have, but it's just the pictures. I will hand over chair to Dr. Van Rensburg, who will be, in the presentation on our behalf. And then later on, we'll take questions and comments.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Andy. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Can you see the presentation? Good morning,
yes,
Chair. Can you see?
Yes, we can see the presentation.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to present. I think it was about 2 years ago.
Before you proceed, can you just fix the your slide, hide the presenter viewer. That's okay. Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, sir. Sorry about that. So I think it was about 2 years ago which we did the last presentation to the committee. So thank you for the opportunity. I think a lot happened since then. And as we say, the briefing is about the re-establishment of the capabilities that we have down in the dockyard. I think there's quite some progress that we had, and we would like to touch on a bit on the renewal plan, which we want to start off some of the background, where we're coming from, and then we'll touch on some of the challenges and issues that we have and how we try to mitigate that. I think the first issue, background-wise, is our mandate is to provide the Navy with certain maintenance support services, and that's planned maintenance, corrective maintenance, upgrades, and modernization. And I think it's important just to create the context of the different levels. Level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4 maintenance. Level 1 is done by the ship staff. Level 2 is done by the fleet maintenance unit. Level 3 by the dockyard. And then there's a level 4 that's been done by industry. And we are mandated on the third line maintenance level to support the Navy. So if there's any other work, there's always four parties interacting and working together on that. But we also have a secondary mandate where we trying to augment the income from the Navy or the shortfall in funding with commercial work that we try to do to fund some of our efforts that we're doing at the dockyard. Just on the background, I think the dockyard was transferred in 2007. You might know this. I'm just going to quickly scan through that. In the defense review, there was a decision to transfer the dockyard to the NEL. The minister made the decision not to do that in 2018 and then tasked Arms Corps to do a renewal plan, which we've done. We presented to our board. We gave feedback to the portfolio committee as well on the progress on that. And implementation is an ongoing process that we're doing. We are currently in a financial break-even position coming from some losses pre-2018. But I think our focus is in renewal of capabilities. And that includes people, processes, equipment, the culture, all of those components. You can't just change one or renew in the one area. You have to look at the whole capability elements in doing that. And we're saying that it's going to be an ongoing process. Every year we update our plan with the next 3 year scope, and tasks and plans get added, and those who finish and going away. So it's an ongoing process. It's not just the event that we are busy with. some background in terms of the capabilities. We have the dockyard in Simonstown, the big main one, but there's a smaller yard in Durban as well, which we are also doing maintenance with for the Navy. A sinker lift in Simonstown and a smaller one in Durban, and the big dry dock is in Simonstown. We also have certain ancillary services like the generating stations, certain sort of shore supplies and so forth, and then also the lab that's doing the scientific way of determining what the state of the vessel's hulls are, and painting and chemicals and lubricants and so forth, so that we can give the Navy scientific support in terms of the status of the vessels. And then the services on the right column is just mainly about our maintenance, repair, and overall work that we are doing. I think on the next slide is just a picture of the dry dock. That is how it looks on the left with the vessel in. We are busy preparing as we speak to bring in Amatola and the Drakensberg to do some surveys and maintenance work on that. And on the right is one of the Darman vessels, commercial vessels that we brought up to do some blasting and painting and corrosion work. It's the same design than the Bayer vessels. This is just a Ulrich platform support vessel that they put containers and commute up to the oil and gas rigs. Just to highlight some of the capabilities that we have, those are the two major capabilities to bring up vessels and do inspections and repair work. We are continuously maintenance programs on them as well. Disciplines, we have about 500 people in the dock, 450 people in the dockyard, consisting of several artisans and disciplines as we have up there. It's quite diverse in terms of all the type of skills, and we are really renewing in terms of the skills that we have also going forward. What is the skills for the next 5 and 10 and 20 years to position ourselves in terms of the footprint that we need going forward? The Navy-supported fleet are the frigates, the submarines, the fast attack aircraft, the OPBs, support vessels, the hydrographic vessels, tugs, and some smaller boats. I'll highlight some of the work, the frigates, we are constantly working on them. We must also remember the vessels are quite old, so maintenance will be ongoing, like any older type of vessel, and you can't always predict. Things do break and they do cause extra time and maintenance tasks and repair tasks that's coming our way. There's a picture on ship repair in the dry dock, one of the frigates on the right on the sinker lift, the submarine in a tug. There's the Drakensberg in the dry dock with a beehive of activities happening to get the work out. The structure, we are structured mainly in the executing and support side with engineering services where the lab fall into operations, project management and site and facility services. The main work happens through the project management principles where we co-plan with the Navy how we need to shore supply, water, compressed air, then all our support functions to be able to run the capability. Percent white, 93 black, and 25 male, female. We are working on getting our female ratios up. We have a lot of women in the technical environment, artisans, and so on, which is good to see when they are working alongside the men, welding, going down in the tube, and pipes, fixing pumps and so forth. Composition, just for interesting, we are 7%. So they're really bringing their part as well. Getting our female ratios up, we have a lot of hula. Our age analysis, we were quite an old business unit in Omsk. But I think that the figures are slowly moving to to be an, you know, within the normal curve. We still have some older people.
Our renewal strategy was in three phases. And all the sustainability part. In some areas we have progressed. We passed the first stabilization phase, and some of that we are waiting for sustained growth. Some are still in the growth. So the different initiatives is in different life cycle phases of it, but we are managing it so that we can make sure that we do achieve our objectives as was said. And as I said, every year we update again, and if things change, we adapt our strategy accordingly. We've combined that into six plans. Our strategy is in the HR plan, a finance plan, operations, market development, which is still to better revenue generation to make up the shortfall, stakeholder engagement, very important, and procurement transformation, which we highlighted as the main areas of concern. They were broken down into lower level plans with projects. Each one of them had planning with the owner with the start and the end date, looking at the HR issues of our structure, the design, our skills development, the capabilities that we have. The dockyard of building wooden ships in the past and the dockyard building in 10 years and 20 years time, composite vessels. The footprint will always change, and that's why we need to look at our capability models and our skills development plans to make sure we don't stay behind. The finance was mainly in cost containment, but also how we report the market development. We've got a development strategy, market strategy, how we want to introduce, but the Navy will always take first priority. We have some hiccups in that, which I will touch on, but we are getting there slowly but surely. The main driver is in the operational area, where we're looking at how we upgrade our and maintain our equipment. How do we renew our people and facilities, and how we manage capacity? How do we accredit our people and our welders according to certain accreditations and coding to be able to weld duplex materials on a submarine according to international standards? So we are looking at development in terms of that as well. And then procurement was a concern which we highlighted. We building out on time, but we still have some challenges. If I look at the progress, as I mentioned before, we manage it on a project management principles. The picture at the back is just for illustration. We've got six plans, 24 sub-plans, and 154 tasks. When I look at the updates last night, we're standing up at 180 tasks, as some were taken away and some were added. So the plan is always updated in terms of the six plans, but it's a living document. And as I mentioned before, it's not a once-a-year event that we design something, we forget about it, and we carry on. We live it every day and update and implement. I think just on terms of the equipment, equipment renewal was one of the big areas there. We said we need to really get into latest technologies to make sure that our equipment also are of the latest standards. And I've added a few pictures. I'm going to just jump to the hyperlink on that just to demonstrate to the committee what's the progress that we had in terms of equipment upgrade. And that slide, you can see the internal combustion engine capability was deteriorated to be almost non-existing in the dockyard. We've revamped the facility, fixed the roofs and so forth. We put up workbenches and workstations. We designed a layout. We managed to find about 10 million rand from DIP funding to fund all the special tools and equipment that is required. And by the end of March, it will be fully operational with latest equipment and technologies and people in doing our level 3 maintenance on that. The second slide is also where somebody's working on that. We break it into workstations where you do certain tasks, stripping of the engine, cleaning, must go to areas where chemical cleaning or blasting is done.
it's preserved, put back into the store, and once we have the spares, we start reassembling. So that is just one of the rebuilt stations where we've refurbished parts are being introduced. There's a spray booth that we bought. Once you have the component strip, it gets blasted and sprayed. A new spray booth that we put up. And there's the facility, just a quick picture of the whole facility. It's not complete yet, but end of March it will be done, and we will be able to refurbish some of the engines on that. We're already doing work in there, but it's not a top state. Of the art facility as we want it to be, and that will be done by the end of March. In terms of us, we are busy with the spray booth. You can see the picture on the right. The doors are already up. They're also done by the end of the month. It's crucial to have a that's not the spray booth, crucial to have a proper blasting booth, because the ship vessel corrosion is all about painting, so you have to treat the surface materials very clean it up and treat it properly so that your painting layers that you put up is in the right state and in the right conditions to prevent any corrosion. And that's why that we identified that as an area of upgrade and renewal. The additive manufacturing, we have a foundry that is probably more than 50, 60 years old and in operation, where they do brass casting still and the anodes and ingots for the vessels. But in the future going forward, we also need to have a bit of additive manufacturing, 3D printing going forward. So we're busy setting up. Tenders has gone out. We bought the 3D scanner. The printer was unfortunately no bid, but we'll go out again for that. So there's progress in terms of that gasket manufacturing. Gaskets and valves are our core business, replacing those. So gaskets, instead of going out and buying all the time different sizes, we've got a computer-aided design capability to draw the gaskets, and then we can be able to cut it. The ICE workshop I talked about, the computer-aided design and engineering capability, we are going forward in terms of a bit of technology drive, bringing some young technicians and engineers to look at how can we use computer-aided engineering to support the dockyard going forward, even in the process development and industrial engineering side as well. We've upgraded our CNC lathes and milling machines. Foundry, I said, also mentioned that we're busy up with processes and new furnaces. Vertical balancing machine, where we balance our pumps and motors that's been refurbished in the dockyard. Are also manual, and most of all of those projects are finished, but on average it's about 70% and in terms of completion. I think I just need to go back to the my hyperlink. I messed up, apologies. Let me just go back to where I was. Thank you. Then I think the focus areas for 2021, in terms of human resources, we said we need to look at. Thank you, Chair. Apologies for that. I think our focus areas for 2021, in terms of human resources, people development is high on the agenda. We need, we've done our job descriptions and that skills gap analysis, and we need to take the people to the required level in terms of output and the skills that they test. So we put that high on the agenda, as well as our management, our section managers and supervisors. We identified our finance revenue generation. We need to bring back after COVID on track. We've got about 8 vessels planned into our docking, and then just some financial management systems that we are looking in terms of reporting and making sure that we can manage financially. Our operation We've put in a huge drive to get our quality on industry levels and standards to ISO 90 manager, which started the 1st of March, that will drive this forward. The same in terms of our SHE reporting. We're going for the ISO 45001 and 14001. Within the next year and a half, we'll have that certification to make sure that we're responsibly in terms of our employees and the environment as well. Operational output, I think the optimize from our systems, we can see our system and so forth, but we need to optimize that to make sure that our people are and our equipment and our facilities are optimally utilized. And that's the gap in or the extra capacity that we can use in the commercial environment. But the Navy will find the benefit in optimizing even our workshops and our environments. Got a lot of old equipment and machines that we be taking up and optimizing our facilities as well. Our stakeholder engagement, our Navy first in support. The Navy is really supportive. The Chief had a visit there about 3 weeks ago. He's happy with the program or the extra capacity that we can use in the commercial environment. But the Navy will find that our employees, organized labor, we have a good relationship in driving the agenda of having our employees develop and objective. Only the Navy suggesting at the high level is the disposal. So a lot of vessels that's standing on the yard that we need to get out of the way so that we can drive more commercial work and getting more revenue to put back into the dockyard and become more effective. But we believe it, from this year, it will start taking off and be driving that agenda also very hard. Key successes, our ISO 9045 and 14000 that explain accreditation of facilities and our employees. I think it's good to have employees with industry so that the Navy can become compliant. So the Navy agreements was the initial converted under the umbrella agreement of the Armed Corps Service Level Agreement, and we've established a memorandum of agreement that will go to the sector. It's approved that our exco is CEO for approval. We've done it responsible in terms of how we spend the money that is allocated to the dockyard in support of the Navy. Our commercial initiatives, we are pushing hard on that. The submarine refit restarted, so the Charlotte Mateke is in the shed. It was stripped about 5 years ago, but the past 4 years, the Navy started with funding 2 years ago. We got some money last year, we got some money again this year, so at this point, we are blasting the submarine. We are taking off the layers of paint so that we can get the OEM to do surveys, and then we will do as much as possible locally, pushing the localization agenda with companies that have the expertise to support us for certain work that we need to outsource that the dockyard cannot do. But I think that project is getting excited. It's you can hear the BI humming in there as you go past, so it's a good success that we have up until now. The BE performance, we've been well. We're exceeding our targets, our capability renewal in terms of posted fit strength, the capability elements of people, organization support, training, equipment, all of the elements that we are addressing. And we are really renewing in all of the areas. And then also on the infrastructure renewal side, we are progressing in getting our capabilities back on par. Current status, as I mentioned before, the Navy project's getting priority, but we want to supplement the funding through commercial work. But renewal of people, our abilities, and then
Also the maintenance of aging equipment I talked about, several projects with the maritime industry, doing certain maintenance repair work for them at a medium smaller boats, so that we can get our people experience on aluminium and other type of materials as well, and we will pursue the industry going forward in those type of projects. And then I think to manage and maintain complex equipment requires really sustainable maintenance philosophies, and we really need to up our game in terms of getting the vessels at sea. But we have some constraints, but I feel that we are addressing solve those type of problems, integrated planning with the Navy as well, which we've highlighted during a recent session with the Flag Officer Fleet, done reducing the output. Challenges, the declining defense allocation is a challenge. I don't think I have to allude to that. I think our procurement prescription from Treasury is really making it difficult to procure. We have no but we have sometimes industry, there are areas of spares and procurement and so forth that we are addressing. We are involving a lot of people from different environments want to participate in tenders because of all the paperwork, the bureaucracy in it. But as I said previously, we must just become smarter than the system and go out on alternative contact methodologies, which we are busy investigating to make sure that we have the right equipment on time for fleet to make sure that all the work and the output. Another challenge which I think is could make and other organizations to fund that, but we also want to see that on a national interest level to close down. So we're getting support also to make sure that we put the plan in place and that we can identify the issues and get the planning center funded again.
Thank
think the culture, we must move to an output-driven culture, and so is the facilities. The buildings belong to the leaking roofs of equipment in there, but we are in the like commanding of place to fast like that. And then also opportunities to look at others, manufacturing and so forth. We are pursuing that. I think, Chair, that's of the facility that we're trying to demonstrate what's happening there so that you can come and see. So invitation from our side, at your convenience, please come and visit with us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, and we welcome this honourable members to interact with the presentation. I see the hand by honourable Lucas Ilatbot.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you on this presentation, and a lot of initiatives. This is something that you are doing. Otherwise, that might impact giving your gas to the midlife upgrade. I can imagine that would have been going forward, and of that you needed and planned to do. The fact that you've probably heard from our government has come. Also, the essential maintenance to the vessels. But know that the three frigates and at least two of the three submarines have basically been lying in the harbour for quite some time now. What is the effect of those vessels being in the docks for so long and not operational? Can you only start off from where you have left off some years ago? Or what will this non-utilization of those vessels have on maintenance and the cost of maintenance going forward? And then lastly, just on to Arms Corps, and obviously this impacts on your financial sustainability going forward and the ability to fund the dockyard plus other projects. You've also heard from the CFO that the new financial year, there's nothing provided for Byron Hotel. How will that affect your financial position? Because you are the contracting party in terms of Byron Hotel and not the Department of Defense, and your ability to fund in dockyard and other activity. Thank you very much, Acting Chair. Acting Chair, I think you are muted.
Oh yeah, no, I was muted. Thanks. I will hand over to Honourable Dukas.
Thank you, Chair. I must say that in Africa, it's really an unprecedented voorligging. Thank you, Chair. Chair, my first question
what
is...
What does it mean?
Ask Honourable Mare.
Impressive. It's all impressive. Very impressive.
Noted. We are learning.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my first question is, what portion of the dockyard currently income is derived from commercial work? And are there any plans to increase it? And what are the plans? Then secondly, Chair, will the re-establishment of the internal combustion engine maintenance capability lead to more commercial work? Then Honourable Marais asked one of the financial self-sustainability over the medium term. And then my third question is, Chair, apart from current relations between Arms Corps and government, are there ongoing positive engagement with departments such as DAF to ensure that all government vehicles are serviced at the dockyard? Then, Chair, I'm not sure about if I hear correctly, but the reports were saying that stakeholder engagement is the main area of concern. I want to ask why, and I also want to ask, are there any programs to popularize and attract young people, especially women from rural areas? And then under the challenges, you say that one of the challenges is that culture must move to output-driven service delivery. I want to understand why is it a challenge. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable, because I'm not seeing any other hand. Honorable Mulray, you might lower yours. I'm not sure whether you raise it again or not. In fact, I agree with the two honorable members that the presentation is very impressive. And I think as honorable members, we can pride ourselves with the work that AMSCO is doing to sustain and maintain those strategic assets and capabilities that fall within their ambit or their mandate. We are very proud, and we must encourage and support them to continue to do the good work that they are doing. Yeah, I will hand over to you, CEO, and your team.
Thank you, Chair. I will invite Yinti to respond to the questions, but as well as the CFO, just on the implications of funding insofar as Biro and Hotel is concerned. And thereafter, Chair, I might have to just emphasize certain points after they have responded.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chair. I think in terms of the midlife upgrade, those are acquisition projects that was deferred at this point in time due to lack of funding. So I cannot pronounce from a dockyard point of view, but we had discussions with the Navy in trying to do with the little funding that we do have to look when we do refits of any of those vessels, that we include some of the modernizations or midlife upgrades as well. There is no funding at this point in time for that. But as we are doing, like we're doing with the S-102 submarine currently, there are some obsolescence items that we are replacing, but we are not will be going back into the condition she was, but will be able to float and sail and fight. I think that's in terms of the midlife upgrades. The precursor submarines that is lying there, yes sir, Jerry, it's correct that they do spend a lot of time alongside. There are some systems that is deteriorating, but we're going into a continuous capability in place so that when the one is finished, the next one can come in and so forth, so that we adhere to the system management requirements for those. Certain refit and docking initiation defects, we're doing some work, so it's a phased approach in absence of funding. If there is funding, you can do a complete refit, but we need to keep them afloat. We're replacing engines as they go, we're replacing pumps. So there's a continuous refit going, although it's not in a formal refit program, but we are keeping them stable, we keep keeping them floating. The impact on activities is definitely there, because we need to sit with the Navy, and if I, looking at the level, jumping in at this point to look at the integrated planning approach, to do things a bit differently, to be more effective and more cost effective and getting the vessels out. So there's an impact on the activities in terms of doing those, not doing those refits as it's due, but we are getting them out in terms of a different approach in absence of funding. The effect of further budget cuts on bio vessels, I can't respond to it. I think if I can just finish the dockyard ones the funding of dockyard going forward, I think from the Navy side, we're presenting to them the same plans. They see the picture that we are seeing, and the drive going forward with the dockyard is to become cost effective
do things differently. We are looking at the sandlots and doctrine currently to see where we can save money and save efforts by letting the levels working together but still stay within the responsibilities of the doctrine. I think that's the way that we are approaching it at this point in time, to get the vessels to sea. Thank you.
Just in terms of Byron and Natal, yes, it is a concern to Arms Corps as well. The fact that the two programs are rollovers from the funding being allocated in different years in terms of how the funding was allocated on this camp itself. It is also still subject to certain decisions to be taken after with that program, and whether money will become available from that program then for even funding the shortfall on these programs. So that is still, we are still awaiting the DoD's decision on those specific programs. Thank you, Chair.
I think there is a commitment. I mean, we've raised this issue of the risk posed by lack of funding, especially for these two programs. But we have already, committed ourselves in the industry. And I think we did not really get any objection. We have raised it at the PDSC. I have raised it with the SecDef. I think it's a question of reprioritizing. Because you recall, Chair, that at some point, that some of the we were tasked to start having a look at, we had to either looking at modernization or upgrading the existing systems. And are quite huge, and where we have a huge exposure. Perhaps like the CFO of the DoD indicated that maybe we just need to put this on the agenda of the PDSC formally. Because I was informed that as we are updating them on the status of the project, we will then highlight this. But I suppose it's just to maybe, put it as an item on the agenda so that we can all, pronounce on the future of the Byron and Hotel. But all indications are that there is a firm commitment, and it could well be that if everything else fails, we then approach the National Treasury directly and share the problems that we're encountering. That would be our input, Chair. You've touched, Honourable Member Biekers, raised the issue of culture. I think what we are saying we need to keep on improving and making sure that we are the efficient or a world-class refit facility, but that comes with the mindset shift, so that we do things differently, we continuously improve, and looking at the innovative ways of doing things. And I think that's what we mean by that culture shift. But also to go aggressively in the marketplace and market this capability. With regards to the programs for the youth, it's something that we are looking at jointly with our training center capability. We believe that there's a lot that we can do in exposing the youth in this high-tech facility, but also to have as part of our CSI where we take the youth, be it on holiday school breaks, and then we take them to the dockyard, we expose them, we give them short-term, contracts, holiday work, and where they then start, participating in this facility. So I think we are already assigned Dr. Van Rensburg to start coming up to EXCO with a clear, program and with some milestones, and we'll see how we fund that effort. We've done that previously where we went
in the right across the townships of Cape Town. We recruited some of the students who were sitting at home with the matric certificates. And then I think there were about 40 that particular year. And then they went through the whole artisan training program for over 4 years, and most of them were repeat absorbed. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much, CEO, and your team for those responses. Is there any follow-up? I don't see any hand on the platform. I think colleagues are happy with your responses, and I must indicate, I've indicated before that we are very proud of the work that AMSCO is doing. We must continue to do the good work that you are doing, and in your quest to do so, you must ensure that you don't forget implementing the charter to transform the industry. You have, as one of your bar club was indicating, that age analysis, it suggests that most things need to be done to ensure that young people are brought, are recruited, are brought on board, and ensure that the skills are transferred to them. And you must do that without compromising the top guard and other strategic areas that are within your jurisdiction. With that being said, thank you very much, AMSCO. That brings us to the end of this particular item. But before I let you go, we have seen that we have appointed the new chief executive for supply chain. You have not done that introduction. Why are you denying us that opportunity?
Thanks, Chair. Well, I was hoping, Chair, that we would make a big announcement that is inform the committee that, as you are aware, that Chair Mkwanazi will be retiring at the end of this month. We embarked on a process of replacing him internally, and we were able to identify the candidate, Mr. Michel who has already assumed that responsibility, so that there is a proper handover during the month of March. He's been with us as AMSCO Chair since 2003, and he's been started in the legal advisor. But recently, he was the executive for compliance. Issues of defense support. He was very instrumental in towards the development of the sector code, the defense group, and made approaches that are related to us or according to the set contractors. So he's very much part of AMSCO, understands our processes, and wish well that, and I think as my executive committee and AMSCO in charge, we highly give more support. Part of our chair is doing well, given the number of challenges that are confronting us, also looking at
are required more effective. So I think that's the major drive where you have to make sure that also the culture and how do we optimize on the skills that we have and how we improve our service offering to the
Thank you, CEO. You must not miss the first opportunity to inform us because you'll be overtaken by events.
I can see that.
Yeah, so you must learn. You must learn. First opportunity, we must make use of it. Thank you very much, CEO and your team. That brings us to the end of this particular discussion. And wish you well, and welcome your new appointees. And we hope to also interact further with the chair. We have interacted with the new chair today, but already when he was informed. But you must pass our ways of appreciation to the chair and the board. And thank you very much. Yeah. Honorable Murray, you want your hand is down.
And if we are finishing with the before we finish with the meeting, I just want to say
you can do that, Honorable Murray.
Well, it's only a compliment you, Chairperson. I think you you deserve any notifications. Well done, and thank you from my side to you. It is much appreciated.
Thank you, Honorable. Thank you. Yeah. Honorable Chair, can you close your meeting?
Colleagues, would you tell me again when I had network challenges? And I think the meeting went very well. I was listening. Follow most of the thing. The offer has been visited the dockyard. I think we must grab it with both hands, and it is when we are there that we'll get the feel of the issues that were ventilated this afternoon. Thank you very much for that. And colleagues, I think, Brian, we come to the end. When are we having the audit before us, the audit committee? I want that when we have the audit committee and the audit, the internal audit before us, that we invite the military police, and the ex and the inspector general as well, because
Chairperson, I suggest that you switch off your video because we have again missed you now.
Okay. No, thank you very much. How is it now?
It's audible.
No, I was checking with Brian, when are we inviting the internal audit committee and the internal, the audit committee and the internal audit unit to come before us. And the reason why I'm raising this is because I want when they come before us, that we invite the Inspector General as well as the military police to be at the same meeting. Maybe we must also ask them to do a presentation on the cases that they are investigating. With respect to Elgula, all of them, the audit committee and the internal audit unit also saying things that are not in the islands exclusively, but they are also being dealt with by the military police or the So if we have all of them before us, at least to deal with the issues and the conclusive on that day.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair.
Bye.